Hey, folks, this is Rabble Rousing Rich Bergeron.
And Psychic Tom Paget checking in with his crystal ball.
All right, and we got a lot to talk about, a lot of events to cover. We had Bellator and UFC events this last weekend, Friday and Saturday. We had a little bit of news going on. Let's talk about a couple stories I'd like to mention. And we got a huge guest on tonight, Ivan Baranchik. He's got a translator and everything set up for us. We're going to have him at 8:30, which means nothing to you guys because we're not live right now. But when you listen to this, it'll be about a half hour into the broadcast. So you got that reference. So before then, we've got a whole lot of stuff to talk about. But last week, we talked a lot about Ivan and his big win over Abel Ramos. And just an incredible comeback there. And just was able to just take the will of his opponent away, the will to fight away. And just landed a lot of body shots and just a lot of crazy angled shots, outside hooks and... one thing I noticed that I'm going to ask him about is he seemed to do better in the later rounds when he stopped looking down at the mat. He definitely seemed
good
to.
Good point.
I want to know whether he figured that out on his own, whether it was just accidental, or somebody told him about it. That's going to be one of my questions.
Tony, were you able to see it?
I did. I was able to see some of the fights the last few weeks. So, and like I said, you know, kid's got a full package. Uh-huh. You know, you can tell a truly talented fighter there.
Right.
And just rocket sock'em robot. I mean, that's what you call insane cardio. Insane. Right. I mean, that's nuts. I mean, and it seemed like Ramos was finally starting to show he was human in the later rounds, and Ivan just kept coming. I mean, his punch has lost some steam for sure, but he was still going. Amazing performance.
And
in fact, Showtime, there was a comment. One of the Showbox executives said it may have been the best fight in the history of Showtime boxing going back 17 years.
Wow.
I can't say for sure that it was, but think about it. That's to have your fight in that category is says a lot.
Yes, it does. I know Tony's probably been crying all week because his big hero, George the Animal Steel, died as well. Sad news there.
No, that was very upsetting to me.
Did you eat a turnbuckle in his honor?
I still watch a lot of his shoot interviews just to see, listen to him now, and it's like, you know, how insightful he really was.
Yeah, they made him out to be an oaf, but I'm pretty sure he was smarter than he looked.
Oh, well, you know, he was a teacher and had a master's degree.
Yeah, so can only imagine why he hung up the tights after a short
period.
Well, you
know what? And part of it, they said back in the day, you know, 30 or so years ago, was, you know, he had a very severe case of Crohn's disease, and then over the years had part of his colon removed, and was really causing him a lot of issues, which, you know, exacerbated his demise later in his life. And I know a few months ago there was a post he had come out and said, you know, basically, you know, notifying people that his health was failing and he made peace with God. And then what I found out last week was there was a tweet from Bob Backlund saying he had called George's house, you know, just, you know, see how he was doing, and his wife answered, and, you know, she was like, you know, who's calling, this is Bob Backlund, and she goes, well, I'm just letting you know, George, you know, is in the hospital, and he's not coming home this time, we put him in hospice care, and, you know, within a day after I read that, he was gone. And then it was right after that, you lost another, you know, wrestler, maybe not on a larger scale, in the Russian Bear, Ivan Koloff.
Yeah. I did not read about that one. But
it was the same day.
It was interesting reading some of the commentary about George. What I remember him for, since I wasn't a huge wrestling fan, is how many turnbuckles he ate. So I'm wondering if his family has a lawsuit there, but there was anything toxic in that shit, or it was all staged and it was just candy. I don't know. But he was famous for coming out with a blue tongue, and there was something about some type of Rolaids or something that he was eating before.
Do you know the story behind that? The tongue.
Something, but they said something about some kind of a mint or something that he was.
It was Clorette.
Clorette.
He was the. I forget if it might have been Vince McMahon Sr. Vince's father. And George was going to meet him. They were going to go over something. Well, George had been drinking. He didn't want him to smell the alcohol in his breath. So he he was sucking on Clorets to cover the smell of the alcohol. And green Clorets turned his tongue green. And Vince McMahon Sr. looked at it and says, that looks great. Do that tonight. And before every show, George would suck on some green Clorets.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny watching the old videos of his rivalry with Macho Man and his infatuation with Elizabeth and all that. And it just kind of shows you how sexist that whole thing was back then. It's just like, you know, it's part of the skit, obviously, and the shtick of WWE. But, man, they had some over-the-top dialogue and storylines with the chauvinistic Randy Macho Man Savage. Talking about Elizabeth like he owned her. That was kind of crazy.
Well, you know what? The honest to God truth is they said that he was really like that. Really? They said, like, they were in the locker room, and somebody even said hello to her. He was, like, real jealous. He'd be like, you know, like, basically, why are you talking to her?
That is crazy. And they glorified it, so, I don't know. It is what it is, but it's a little bit more evolved now. Anyway, moving on. Had a crazy suspension in Michigan. It's a crazy story. I'm surprised it hasn't happened in the UFC yet, but this is a story about a guy who apparently either didn't like what the other opponent's corner people were saying to him or just had a beef with them, period, because he climbed right over the cage and attacked the other opponent's cornerman after he beat the heck out of the opponent. Tyler Dennis James Meadows jumped the cage and assaulted Taylor Moore, a fellow licensed MMA fighter who had acted as his opponent's second. And it was assault that occurred during MMA fight night at the Joe, IFL 66, whatever that means. And it was after this guy Meadows beat a guy named Dylan Carpenter. And according to the reports, multiple spectators were hurt, including a child who required a medical attention. And then basically, they have a quote here from one of the directors of the organization. All amateur mixed martial artists must conduct themselves in a manner consistent with the laws and rules applicable to mixed martial arts contests to protect the health, safety, and welfare of all participants and the general public. We want to ensure that professional and safe environments are provided for athletes and spectators at these events. So, yeah, not recommended behavior there for dealing with the opponent's corner. But
was the guy arrested, Rich?
I don't believe so, but you know how that stuff works. Sometimes it'll happen a couple days later after they look at everything. They probably have to review videos and all that sort of thing to figure out whether he should be arrested. And, you know, there are some things that they refer to as fighting words, so we don't know what the corner guy said to him. I mean, he's an MMA fighter. Maybe he threatened him. You know, he didn't like to see his guy lose, so, you know, maybe something caused the outburst. But I do remember reading another headline. I didn't even click on the story, but, you know, this story kept coming up in the Google alerts, and there was one headline that said this guy was a convicted sex offender or something in the past, so it's not foreign to the legal system. And then there's some big news here on the fight that everybody's been talking about, this big boxing match that everybody seems to want to happen, and now it's not going to happen. It's official. It's just dead in the water. You know what fight I'm talking about?
What is dead?
You know what fight I'm talking about, guys?
I think I do, but I'll let you keep going.
I'm talking about the Soldier Boy and Chris Brown fight.
Richard tried to say the same thing, Mayweather McGregor. He's going to throw it on something else, and he's going to say something ridiculous.
The fight that everybody's been talking about is not Mayweather McGregor. More people have actually been talking about Soldier Boy fighting Chris Brown.
I knew it was something ridiculous.
Because it's the entertainment industry, you know, it's not just sports. But apparently Chris Brown, who is the one that suggested the boxing match in the first place, will not sign the contract. So Soldier Boy and Chris Brown is not going to happen. This all started over social media, so, you know, apparently the internet thug routine is all Brown has right now. He can't back it up in the ring. And there was another story that was connected to this article that I was just made aware of. And this happened in early January, I guess. Chris Brown got thrown out of an athletic club, and he's banned from all the locations permanently because he mouthed off to one of the managers who told him to, you know, keep it down because I guess they were playing basketball, being loud and obnoxious and swearing and, you know, right around a lot of other people, so... Somebody reported him, the manager came over, and Chris Brown spit on him. Not only, you know, gave him some shit, but supposedly spit on him. Not a class act type of guy, you know. But basically, it all started with this, something about Chris Brown commenting on a picture of an ex-girlfriend of Soulja Boy, so... It escalated from there, and then apparently, you know, Damon Feldman was involved in everything, was going to get it on Celebrity Boxing, Evander Holyfield was coaching one guy, and Mike Tyson was going to coach the other one, and so we've been talking a little bit about it here and there, but yeah, not going to happen now.
Well, you know, I guess I'm really out of popular culture. I think I may have heard of Chris Brown, but that Soldier Boy, I have no idea who you're talking about. I can't even get a visual on him.
I don't know rap either.
One song?
Chris Brown is most famous, I think, at this point for punching his girlfriend Rihanna in the face and getting away with it. And, you know, this was in the car at some point. She was thinking that he was cheating on her or something, and he told her to shut up and punched her in the eye, and she posted the black eye pictures everywhere. And, you know, there was an investigation, but I think she didn't press charges in the end. So he got away with it, basically. And, you know, they're actually friends, I think, now, which is weird. That's his history. So you'd think, you know, he'd want to dispel all the people saying, why don't you fight a real man, you know, and stop beating on women. But one of those sad stories of money trumps all. So he got away with all that shit. Not known for his congeniality, let's say. But Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor is not dead. Not dead at all. Not only is it not dead, but since we've had the development of Roy Jones Jr. beating our former guest, he's a former guest too, but beating our other former guest, Bobby Gunn, knocked him out, TKO in the eighth round. So what we have now is a situation where Roy Jones Jr. is now finally talking that he might retire, but before he goes to that step, he's putting out there that he wants to fight on the undercard of Mayweather-McGregor, and, you know, the fight that he's always wanted is Anderson Silva. So it makes sense. It would make way more sense if those two fought in the co-main event. How about this for an idea? We get Evander Holyfield to come out of retirement to fight Don Fry in the old-timers bout.
Who's coming up with these ideas, I wonder?
That's my idea.
You know, that's interesting because Fry was he was in the Tyson Call-Out Club, right, which really sounded pretty ridiculous back in the early days of the UFC. They asked him, and I said, would you like to fight Tyson? Well, everyone would, you know, but, okay, so Evander Holyfield. Now, this would be boxing, I'm assuming, right?
No, I'm kidding about that one, Tom. That was just a joke.
Oh. Well, I don't know.
No, but Anderson Silva and Roy Jones Jr. has been talked about for longer than Floyd and Connor. So Anderson says it was so – no, not Anderson. Roy Jones Jr. said, it was so big when it was talked about back then with me. It would have been the biggest fight of my career by far. Dana White didn't want to do it, but he's not the owner now. People make decisions, usually try to make money for their decisions. These two people – these two fighting McGregor and Mayweather, like me and Silva fighting in a boxing match, will not diminish the UFC brand. Well, that's a heck of an opinion. Sounds like a guy who wants to make money and not look at the obvious. Of course it's going to diminish the UFC brand. I mean, the UFC brand will help sell tickets to it. And, you know, maybe they'll open themselves up for, you know, more cooperation with the sport of boxing by doing something like this, but I think, he might have a point there. I should say that, you know, the brand itself, yeah, I think it will stay intact. It won't diminish it. But the fighters will definitely have to eat some shit from a lot of fans who are going to be pulling for them, and if they lose to boxers, it's not going to look good for them. But anyway, the fight is getting closer and closer to happening. We've got a couple perspectives to talk about. First of all, Freddie Roach is on record now saying that Floyd Mayweather approached him and said that this fight is going to happen. We also have had discussions on this show about conversations that McGregor has had in public saying that he's not going to do anything else until this fight happens. So, probably not going to fight in the cage anytime soon. Says he's going to fight in a boxing ring. But Floyd Mayweather has put it out there. He's going to have a big 40th birthday bash this weekend, celebrating his 40th birthday out there in California, Southern California. He's going to be all over the place, and also at the Oscars. He's going to have an Oscar-related party there. So he's busy this weekend, but he took the time to tweet out, although there has been several rumors circulating through media suggesting that I will have an upcoming fight, I'd like to set that record straight and state that there has been no deals made on my behalf in regards to a bout with any fighter at this time. I am happily retired and enjoying my life. Rest assured that if any changes come about, I will be the first to let the world know. So. And Anderson Silva's 41 years old now, so there is kind of an old man match component to it, I guess, with him fighting Silva. But Floyd Mayweather's 40 now, so he's going to be the old guy versus the young guy there. So that's going to be a different element too to look at. But. Not sure how
40 old is the 40 is the new 27.
I guess
that.
So. All right.
That's right. See, I'm dropping some hints here. Okay, yeah. I'm dropping some hints for you too.
yeah, I'm not 40 yet. Next year.
Okay. I know, but I think someone else is going to be this year. So, I'm just saying, it ain't too late.
Yeah.
Who's that?
Tony, are you 40 yet?
Yeah, late September.
Oh, all right. Yeah, so it's just me. Just me. I'm the under 40 club.
Now, did you guys see the training video I sent you the other day?
I did.
Yes. That was a body punching clinic, buddy.
Good stuff.
Loved you it. Like that?
Oh, and I just hope you can get some of his fight recorded for us. I mean, I'm really into this now, so I'd love to see this guy. That'd be great.
Yeah, I had him over last night. Now, last night, you know, when he came over to train, I had, I'm getting into this Fitbit now, so I'm walking a lot at lunch, then I'm going to the gym, then I'm coming home to train him. So last night, he's like, listen, he goes, I want a good one tonight. And I'm like, okay, you know, you're on. And he's like, push me till I'm about ready to puke. Challenge accepted. I made Amy puke a few months ago because she ate right before she came over and didn't tell me. So I pushed this kid so hard last night, but he was responding. And like I said, he was tearing some shots. Now, when I train him, I alternate rounds. So when he's doing his warm-up, it's like round of jumping rope, round of shadow boxing, and he does three of each. Then we do some instruction, and I go over a few basic things, give him some ideas. Like last night, we were really focusing on the difference, because he was asking me about the snap of a punch. Because he's like, you know, I hear that term a lot. When I tell him there's a fight to watch, he'll go Google it or YouTube it that night, which is great. You know, he's really become a student of it, which I really enjoy. So he was asking me about it. Well, in my basement gym, I have rims of the 90s, 2000s. They used to have these artist-drawn, like, 18 by 24 pictures of, like, different fighters. So they had, like, Marciano, Dempsey, Sugar Ray Robinson, Ali, you know, Hagler, Hearns, Foreman, Sonny Liston, you know, Archie Moore, all those guys. So I have them, a bunch of them spread out throughout my gym. And just by coincidence, I have Tommy Hearns next to George Foreman. I said, I'm going to give you a perfect example of two different fighters with tremendous power that came from, you know, basically a different way. I said, Tommy Hearns had a tremendous snap on his right hand. It was like a whip firing out there. And, you know, it was like a lightning bolt. You know? I said, George.
Yeah, and he had that insane leverage. He really got his leverage into it. Every pound in his body, it's like a heavyweight.
And I said, Foreman was more of like a thudding guy. You know, Hearns would be like, and Foreman would be like, you know? And I said, okay, granted, one was more of a welterweight, one was more of a heavyweight. I said, take that out of consideration. Foreman's punches were like, you know, telephone poles, you know, boom, and they would hit you. And I said, when he won the Olympics, he wasn't favored against that Russian fighter. I said, he even wrote in his one book, they were telling him before the fight, you know, whenever, you know, something happens, just throw your jab. And that's what Foreman ended up stopping the guy with, because you hit him with so many jabs, because Foreman's jabs were hard. So I said, you know, you have the snappier punch, like the Tommy Hearns, but then you also have this heavy-handed guys, which he is more is a heavy-handed guy. So we were going over last night, and gave him his instructions, and I said, okay, You know. Then we were doing the bag and then the pad. So I started him off with the ladder and the bag, which is 500 punches. He blows through that. Then we're going on the pads, and I have him throwing some combos. And then back on the bag, and I can see him getting a little bit tired. Then I have him ripping the Tyson combo, the right to the body, right uppercut, left hook. And he's throwing him. He's slipping jabs and firing right hands, and he's going hard. And I can see him getting tired. And he's still got two more rounds to go. So, you know, he's a police officer, father of two young children, a very high character guy. He's Italian, so, you know, he's got a little bit of that, you know, that little bit of fire in him. So I knew what would light him a little bit. A friend of mine had posted something on the internet, on Facebook, that day, mocking these stupid young people today. And this one girl that he retweeted or whatever he did actually came out and said, it's discriminatory to call a child a baby boy or a baby girl because the child is not old enough to choose what gender they identify as. You should refer to that as baby self or toddler self until the child's old enough to decide what gender they are. I said that to him last round on the bag. I thought he was going to put the bag through the wall.
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of thing that, for me, it would be a STFU. Right,
yeah,
there, exactly. On the spot. On the spot. I don't care. You're a freak. Shut up.
Yeah. I when the guy wrote it, this guy, and I don't know him very well. I know him through some friends, but he's a hard-ass former Marine, you know, and I get along with him. He's pretty much a hard-ass guy. And I wrote on there, I'm like, this person needs to be kicked in the head. He goes, you misspell euthanized. No, I'm glad you guys liked that video. And when I showed, he was a little concerned, you know, when I was videoing, because he'd already done about a good 12 rounds. This was last Sunday. He had just finished a good hard 12 rounds. He's like, oh, I hope I didn't look too spent. I'm like, no, you look pretty good. But I was teaching him last night. I said, sometimes he tries to throw too fast to the body. I said, sometimes you take it down a notch on speed, and you just sit there and deliberately drive him. And I told him to go watch some, you know, early day Arturo Gatti fights. The one that I remember is his first title defense against Wilson Rodriguez. When he was down, he was swollen up pretty good, and he uncorked probably the most deliberate body attack that I've ever seen. I mean, these shots were coming from left field, and they were landing with bad intentions, but that's what took Rodriguez out. So that's why I said, you know what, maybe it's time you learn from the master. And I threw the thing on him, and I tipped a few, and he goes, Jesus Christ, I'd be afraid to take them without the padding on.
Yeah, I mean, I can tell this guy's really got pop. And just let him know, I like the fluidity he's developing. I mean, really, he's not stiff. I know that you're working with him on that.
Yeah. Hey, but what about me? How did I look for an old guy?
You look like, that's what I'm telling you. 40, okay, is the new 27, okay?
I like that.
And you know how to cut weight. You're on the all-star team for cutting weight, so there you go.
Yeah, I got to get rid of my shingles weight now.
Yeah, are they any better?
Yeah, they're gone pretty much. I mean, I got a little stripe in the back area that's kind of still aggravating, but it's not to the point where there's any pain or aggravation, like pins and needles, stuff like I used to have. It's just kind of like a weird feeling back there, but it's just pretty much dry skin now, so hopefully they're gone for good. But anyway, we got a couple more McGregor things, Mayweather McGregor things to talk about, and then we got to get Ivan Baranchuk on the show. Speaking of body shots, he is a great body puncher. Anyway, you mentioned George Foreman, Tony, and George had a little bit to say about McGregor the other day, or last week at some point. He was on the Jake Brown show, and George says the other guy, talking about McGregor, no one ever knew his name, and now he keeps flirting with the idea of him fighting Floyd Mayweather. He should take advantage of that and go out and fight 100 more people and wait until the Mayweather fight happens. He's famous now. He's almost a household name, and he was not until the talk of him fighting Mayweather. It doesn't even have to happen. I'm not buying any Mayweather fights. Best believe that. Not me. So I guess he don't like Mayweather that much. But then there was a story. I want to play the audio because, I mean, point in reading the words. If you can play the words, this is Teddy Atlas talking about the fight.
You had asked me the question, if McGregor really can't win this fight standing up under those rules, and those would be the rules, then why would he take it? Because he would break the rules. He would come in there, he would break the rules, he would pin him, and then he would proclaim himself the king of the ring. Even though he might lose the purse money, his brand would go through the roof. And you know what? He's a promotional genius, just like Floyd is, just like Muhammad Ali was. So nobody's thinking about that part of it. Floyd, before he puts his John Hancock on a contract, he better think about that part of it.
So there it is. Teddy Atlas fucked it up for all of us who wanted to see Floyd Mayweather get kicked in the head and get disqualified. McGregor get disqualified. But it's interesting, you know. I mean, obviously now they are going to have to think about that part of it, because what if that does happen? There is kind of an incentive for him to do that if he gets frustrated.
You got to put a clause in there that if he does anything deliberate like that, you can tell if a person makes an honest mistake. You know, you have times where you see people that have gotten disqualified for fouls, low blows, whatever, and you can see sometimes that they are just truly the person, the body puncher, and they're shying foul. Or you can see sometimes they're almost like Andrew Gallat and Riddick Bowe, that it's like, you know, it's disgustingly almost blatant. Well, you got to see if a mistake happens, and even if he gets disqualified, okay, fine. You know, chalk it up to his, you know, inexperience and emotions. But if it's a deliberate kick to the head, whatever, forfeit his pay.
Yeah. At least.
Bingo. I think that solves a lot of problems right there. You do something like that, you put a clause in the contract, you will not get paid.
Right. All right. Well,
Yeah, I like it. I definitely like it.
I believe we have our guest on the show here, and his translator. Alico, is that how you pronounce it?
Yes, correct.
All right. Welcome to the show there, Alico, and you've got Ivan on with you?
Yeah, I try to add him right now.
Okay, looks like he's there. Ivan! You there? There he is. Looks like he's on. All right, so obviously you're coming off a big fight, Ivan, and all of us here on the show here, we've got three guys in your ear here. We got Psychic Tom, Tony the Tornado, and I call myself Rabble Rouser Rich.
Good evening, Ivan.
Good evening.
So my first question, Ivan, what would you say was the key to your victory over Abel Ramos?
Вань, первый вопрос. Какой у тебя был ключ главный к победе к этой, в этом бою?
Главный ключ к этой победе — это моя ударная мощь. Вот. Плюс терпение и характер.
Saying that the most important things in this fight was his power, his aggressiveness, and his spirit.
Yeah, I mean, I watched it bell to bell, the whole thing, and just could not be more impressed with his ability to just take the will away from his opponents. And, you know, it was a scrappy fight in the beginning, but you could definitely tell that point where it turned. But my question, just on the style aspect of it, I was curious. There was a beginning of the fight, it seemed like he was walking in with his head down and just throwing to throw. But towards the end of the fight, he had his head up, he was focused, he was looking forward. I'm just wondering, did somebody tell him, you gotta keep your head up, or did it just kinda happen that way?
Вань, ну, во-первых, он говорит о том, что он смотрел бой от от первого гонга до последнего. Первые раунды были тяжеловатые, но потом ты выровнялся, все взял под контроль. И у него вопрос, откуда вообще в тебе берется, то есть как ты можешь вот это забирать силу соперника, знаешь, ломать его дух, а он прямо видел, как ты это сделал. И вопрос его следующий, что первые раунды ты вышел такой, знаешь, чисто выбрасывал удары, ломился вперед, но потом с раундами поумнел, стал действовать интереснее, разнообразнее, как бы больше, более осмотрительно. То есть тебе кто-то об этом говорил или это само пришло, как это объяснить?
Это я объясняю это тем, то что я понимал, что я первые раунды действую так, что, допустим, я проверяю соперника, если он надломается, если он как бы сможет ли он как бы надломаться, сможет ли он упасть. И когда у меня, допустим, не получается нокаутировать, не получается полностью забрать инициативу под себя, я начинаю просто боксировать, я начинаю грамотно вести бой, чтобы просто как бы выиграть. Я понимаю, что я, допустим, не выиграю нокаутом, я боксирую так, чтобы просто выиграть по очкам.
Okay, so what Ivan's saying is, first rounds, yeah, it was just a brawl, but he always starts like that, and that's his strategy. He's always getting in there to fight, and he try to destroy the guy. But when he see that the guy is not gonna get broke, that he's not gonna go down, he see that he's strong enough to keep fighting, so that's why he get more smarter, technical, more doing different things. Just do not waste all his power, you know, because he see that the guy was tough and he had to be smart until the last bell.
Awesome. And I'm just curious, how did he first get into boxing?
I'm sorry, can you repeat it?
How did Ivan first get into boxing?
Вань, как ты впервые вообще, как ты попал в бокс? Что, как было?
Меня привели друзья на бокс в 12 лет. Я до этого с 6 до 12 я занимался джиу-джитсу. Не знаю, ты переведешь ему. Ага. Как-то объяснить. Вот, с 6-12 я занимался джиу-джитсу, а с 12 уже лет я начал заниматься боксом. Ну, меня привели друзья, мне просто понравилось то, что там больше соревнований, то, что там можно себя показать. Ну, и я остался в боксе, о чем не жалею до сих пор.
Yeah, Ivan first his Meritel was the Meritel. He was starting from jiu-jitsu. From 8 to 12 he was doing jiu-jitsu, and then after that his friends brought him to a boxing gym, and he just liked it a little bit more, and it was more competitive at that time in that country. So he stayed in there.
And does he have any role models, either inside or outside the sport, that helped him out along the way?
I'm sorry, first part, I didn't hear the first part.
Does he have any role models, either inside or outside?
Да, есть какие-то, скажем так, кумиры, то есть, ну, на кого ты поравняешься в спорте или вне спорта, вообще в целом?
Есть, как бы, есть кумир, я очень люблю этого боксера, это Майк Тайсон, вот, а вообще я стараюсь смотреть бокс, стараюсь смотреть все бои всех известных боксеров и для себя выискивать какие-то плюсы, какие-то коронные, допустим, удары, которые я, допустим, могу применять в бою.
Это в спорте, а вне спорта есть что-то?
Вне спорта?
Ну, да, ну вот на кого бы ты равнялся, как бы хотел бы в чем-то походить.
Не, вне спорта не.
So I've been saying there's only one role model for him is Mike Tyson. And he was looking at him since he was a kid and try to move like him, do stuff like him. So that's the only one person who he can call the role model. But overall, he looks all the sport boxing, sport of boxing, and trying to learn something new from big names, you know, from big champions.
Awesome. Has he met Tyson yet?
Ты встречал Тайсона вживую?
Нет, но хочу увидеться с ним.
Not yet.
Well, if you follow his Twitter page, he's always doing meet and greets all over Vegas. If you're hanging out in Vegas, you'll probably be able to find him somewhere.
I'm pretty sure that they will meet one day.
Yeah.
Он говорит, что Тайсон делает встречи, так что ты можешь всегда с ним увидеться, встретиться в Вегасе.
Yeah, I got an autographed boxing glove from him, and I get to shake his hand. It only cost me like $350, so if you have to, you gotta pay for it.
Он говорит, что у него есть подписанная перчатка, и Майк Тайсон пожал ему руку, это ему стоило всего лишь $150.
Супер.
All right, Tony, you got anything?
I do, actually. Ivan, hi. Welcome on the show. I was admiring when you were fighting last week, you know, just your intensity, but your skill at the same time. And I wanted to know what methods you use when you train to help, you know, hone your skills and your conditioning.
Он говорит о том, что когда ты дрался, он видел, что, ну, как бы заметил, что какой сильный был напор от тебя, но и при этом еще технически ты как бы очень хорошо смотрелся. То есть как ты готовишься физически и технически, то есть в чем особенность твоей подготовки?
Особенность подготовки в том, чтобы выкладываться на все 100% на каждой тренировке. Чтобы отдавать всего себя на тренировке и не отвлекаться на другие вопросы.
Yeah, I've been saying it's very simple. You just have to work as hard as you can. Work for all 100%, give it all every single time, every single workout. And that's it. It's very simple.
Tom. I know you got a question.
Yes, Ivan, well, I have a comment and a question. Now, my comment is, congratulations on putting on what many have said was the most exciting fight in the history of Showtime Boxing going back 17 years. So, congratulations. And if you could translate that to Ivan, if you will, please, then I'll ask my question.
Yes. Ваня, он говорит, поздравляет тебя. В первую очередь хочет тебя поздравить и сказать, что об этом бое говорят как о самом крутом бое за историю Showbox New Generation. Это все 17 лет, говорит, и это действительно так. Он тебя с этим очень сильно хочет поздравить. Скажи по-английски.
Thank you so much.
Yes, okay, and my question is, at the level of boxing you're at, the game is highly mental, as well as physical. And do you do any special mental preparation, like meditation or anything, or do you just let your conditioning carry you through the fight mentally? Because it seemed like your mind never wavered. Your determination was incredible. And I just wonder if you addressed the mental aspect of fighting.
Значит, вопрос его следующий. На том уровне бокса, на котором ты сейчас находишься, там очень важна не только физическая сила твоя, но и моральная твоя как бы стабильность, моральная, ну, в этом, на этом уровне бокса очень многое зависит от моральной составляющей. Есть ли у тебя какой-то способ, что ты готовишь себя морально? Ты медитируешь или ты что-то, как-то готовишь себя к этому? Или ты просто выходишь в ринг и даешь физике работать? Или как бы ты себя как-то все-таки готовишь?
Нет, скажи, что меня очень сильно поддерживают мои родные, и в особенности моя жена очень сильно меня поддерживает. Она мне всегда помогает, всегда настраивает меня, всегда поддерживает, говорит, что я самый лучший, и это мне очень помогает.
Это все?
Да.
Ivan's saying that mentally the number one who's helping him is his wife. His relatives support him, his parents, and his wife is the number one supporter. That's what makes him work harder. That's what makes him give it all every single time and in every single fight, because she believes in him, and that's what makes him mentally stronger than anyone else.
Well, just tell him, keep doing it. I see a lot of good things in his future.
Он говорит, значит, если это так, значит, продолжай точно так же делать, и пусть она продолжает так же делать, потому что он видит очень много будущего в тебе.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
All right, and one question I can never let anybody off without asking is, what do you love most about boxing?
Говорит, один вопрос, без которого он не отпускает ни одного, это что ты больше всего любишь в боксе вообще?
В боксе? Мне нравится само это чувство, само чувство выхода на ринг, адреналина, без которого я не могу жить. Мне это нравится, ну вот эта вот вся ситуация, все эти вот бои. Скажи, что выброс адреналина очень важен для меня. Вот.
Yeah, for Ivan, the most important thing in boxing and the thing that he loves above all is the moment that you're getting into the ring, the feelings that you have, that like adrenaline shot, you know? Right. So that's the thing that he loves about it most of all.
Awesome. And obviously, he's probably getting a lot of phone calls of people who would like to fight him. Is there anybody out there who he wants to fight next?
Он говорит, ты, наверное, получаешь много звонков от людей, которые хотят с тобой следующее подраться. Есть кто-то, с кем ты хочешь подраться?
Не, у меня как-то нету такого предпочтения, с кем драться. Все решают промоутеры, ну и я, в принципе, они советуются со мной, я с ними соглашаюсь. Так у меня нет предпочтения, с кем драться.
He's saying he's not thinking about it right now. There is no names in his head that he want to fight right now. Promoters decide everything. They negotiate it, and then like he can fight whoever. He don't care about it.
All right, that's a good answer. now, a couple other questions. I'm going to kind of combine the two of them, but we usually ask. Who was his toughest opponent, and what was his best fight so far in his career?
Вань, кто твой самый сложный соперник и какой твой лучший бой?
Мне кажется, самый сложный бой был последний. Ну и я сам не пересматривал бой, но как все говорят, что он зрелищный, что он супер, то мне кажется, что самый и удачный, мне кажется, самый последний бой был.
He's saying that the toughest opponent was the last one, Abel Ramos, and the best fight, he's saying probably, because he didn't watch the fight yet, he haven't seen it yet, but everyone's saying that it was good, so he's saying probably it was the best fight.
Alright. Well, I guess it's a great time for us to interview him then, huh? Awesome. Another question, what's his ultimate goal with the sport? Where does he want to go with it?
Excuse me?
What's his ultimate goal with the sport of boxing, and where does he want to take it?
Куда ты идешь, Вань? Какой твой самая большая твоя цель, то есть, ну, твоя, скажем так, мечта в боксе именно?
Титул чемпиона мира.
Все или один?
Все.
There's only one goal, to become a world champion, and then probably get all the belts that they have.
Awesome. Does he have a favorite punch?
Чей любимый удар?
Левый хук.
Left hook.
Alright. That's my favorite Mike Tyson punch too, you can tell him.
Он говорит, это тоже его любимый Майка Тайсона удар.
Я знаю. Yeah, he knows that.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people like his uppercut and try to teach people that, but I used to always try to teach people when I was a coach the left hook because, I mean, just the way he threw that and the size of his calves, just tremendous force behind that punch.
Он говорит, очень многие концентрируют внимание на Тайсона апперкоте, но у него был сумасшедший боковой.
All right, now, is there anybody that he'd like to give a shout out to, say hello to, or thank?
Кому бы хотел передать привет, сказать спасибо или там еще что-то?
Хочу сказать спасибо моей команде за то, что подвела меня очень хорошо к этому бою, моим родным и близким, и кто участвовал в этой победе.
Special thanks to all my team who prepared me very well for this fight. And of course, thanks to my relatives, to my family, to my wife.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's all.
And how do people, if they want to find him online, does he have any social profiles they can find him?
Да, Вань, как тебя найти в онлайне, если тебя будут искать?
В Instagram?
Да, Instagram, Facebook.
Я так и подписан, Иван Баранчик.
Yeah, just the full name, Ivan Baranchik, on Instagram and Facebook. All the social medias is just the full name, Ivan Baranchik.
All right. Well, you're on your way to being a legend. That's all I can say, Ivan. And it's been a great interview, and thanks a lot for taking the time out to talk with us tonight.
Он говорит, Вань, ты, скорее всего, на пути к тому, чтобы стать легендой. Поэтому, говорит, удачи тебе во всем. Продолжай в том же духе. Спасибо тебе за то, что уделил внимание и время.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Go Beast! Go Beast! We love your nickname. And thank you, sir, for your great translation skills.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thanks a lot, guys. You have a great night.
Have a good night, guys.
Have a great night.
Bye.